Greet each one in Jesus' precious name this evening. For some opening scriptures, turn with me to the book of 1 John. I'd like to read some verses there. Tonight we wish to discuss some differences between a working religion and a saving faith. We could call it a saving religion. That would work. I had that in there first, but I changed it to saving faith. The title of the message is The Insufficiency of a Working Religion. So let's read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'm not going to make a lot of comment on these verses, just going to read them so that we have a backdrop of as to what we're going to speak about and discuss. 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 5, my little children. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. The same chapter, verses 22 to 25. 1 John chapter 2, 22 to 25. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise, that he that hath promised us, that he hath promised us even eternal life. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 10 through 12. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. About 6 weeks ago, I was working outside one of those really, really scorching days. Wow, about like today. And I drank all the water in my water jug, and I stopped at a little convenience store nearby to get replenished with water. And when I walked in, I saw the man standing at the cash register. Looked like a Middle Eastern man from that country. And when I walked in, I noticed he was standing really still. And it flashed through my mind, I was like, I believe he might be praying. And so I went and got my water and came back, just took a few moments. Came back, and when I got to the checkout, I didn't see anyone. And then I noticed a sign on the checkout said closed. This register closed. Well, it was the only register, so I wasn't sure what to do. And then I noticed in smaller handwritten below this register closed was handwritten only for 5 minutes. And then I was looking around, and here I see the man on the floor, and he's praying. And I'm standing there, so I see the sign, so I know what's going on. It must have been that time of the afternoon. He's having his prayer time. And so he gets up and stands quietly, looking down, holding his hands in front of him. A well-dressed man, a shirt much like I have on, button and long sleeves, neatly combed, holding his hands in front of him, and he's looking down. I see his lips moving. And then he goes down on his, I guess it's hands and knees, with his head is basically against the floor. I think that happened four times while I was standing there waiting to be checked out. And so when he finished, then he removed the sign, and I said, are you Muslim? And he said, yes. And I said, I'm a Christian. I understand prayer. And I tried to talk with him, but his accent was such that I didn't get much. I couldn't understand what he was saying, and I regret that. I just couldn't understand what he was saying. But he said, I heard him say something to the effect that it is good. He said, I worship Allah, you worship God. And I tried to say something about the true God. I don't remember exactly what I told him. And at first, my first feeling was feelings of admiration for that man. As I thought about the nerve it took to not let me interrupt his prayer time. And I thought about the possibility of someone, if it wouldn't have been me, someone that could have been angry and could have done many things, could have walked out, could have been nasty to him verbally or whatever. My first feelings were feelings of admiration. And then profound sadness. Profound sadness. He had a working religion. A working religion. The insufficiency of a working religion. You know, it took a lot. It took a lot. There's no doubt in my mind, it took a lot of nerve for him to continue praying, getting up and down in front of a customer that is waiting to be served. A working religion is characterized by a few things. One, confidence that the said religion has a foundation under it. Confidence that it's true and real. This man had some measure. Does he have 100% confidence in his religion? I don't know. But it was confidence enough that he made the sacrifice to worship instead of serving the customer. A working religion is characterized by confidence that this religion has worthwhile benefits. I'm not sure. I did a little study into the Muslim religion. I shouldn't say study. I checked it out a little bit. A good life. I don't know if he's expecting heaven. I did research Allah. Who they worship Allah. Who they call Allah. Allah, I guess. I guess maybe they say Allah. And it talks about the God of creation, a forgiving God. And the definition for their Allah, we almost could accept it. It's so close. A working religion is characterized by conviction for the holder of that religion to order their life by it. There's a practical expression. I could see it on the man. I could see it by how he was dressed. I could see it by the worship that he was performing. He had conviction. Conviction. And there was a practical expression to his working religion. He had conviction to bravely face opposition. He was in a type of warfare so that he could continue his working religion in the face of opposition. What are the components or doctrines of a working religion? And this could vary, but I'll use the black or the whiteboard a little bit. We'll draw three squares here. A And in these three squares, as I would understand briefly in the Muslim religion that I'm speaking of, and this could go for other religions as well, but there's three components that we're going to limit it to tonight: obedience, forgiveness of sins, and worship. I'm just going to put an O in here for obedience, forgiveness of sins, and worship. There's three things. And I believe my Muslim friend could check all the above boxes. He has a working religion. He could check those boxes. Obedience, he believes in forgiveness of sins to some measure. Again, I didn't look into that too deeply. And worship. And I wondered about that man getting together with his religious associates and having what we call a council service where they examine themselves if they are in the faith. And they could check the boxes. Obedience. Forgiveness of sins. Worship. It appeared that my Muslim friend had a solid working religion, but he needs so much more. He needs so much more tonight. We have a working religion, but it needs to be more than that. It must include a practical expression. It must include obedience and forgiveness of sins and worship. But it needs to be broader than that. It needs to be deeper than that. We'll get into some of that. Number one, going into the main part of the message, I think I have 3 points I'd like to bring out tonight. Number one, a correct premise validates a working religion. A correct premise. A premise is a basis or foundation. And for something to be valid, it is a legal, it's a legal force. So a correct basis makes a working religion a legal force. Now I'm going to say it in the flip side, in the negative. If our premise is incorrect, it invalidates all legitimate components, otherwise known as obedience, forgiveness of sins, and worship. Let's move back to my friend. Call him my friend. I met him once, but I have a heart for him. I've prayed for him. I wish I could speak with him. I don't understand. His English isn't clear enough, and I don't know his language. I pray that someone will talk to him that can understand, they can converse. But his premise, the basis upon which he builds his working religion, is incorrect. And so it invalidates these legitimate components. These components are legitimate. Obedience is legitimate. Forgiveness of sins is legitimate. Worship is legitimate. But because his premise is wrong, his foundation is wrong, it invalidates that. It puts a big X on that. But see, a human is a human. And that same thing can come into our heart. Or a person that has not accepted Jesus Christ says, well, I'm living the Bible. I believe for whatever reason that my sins are forgiven. So you place your confidence in something. If our premise is incorrect, it invalidates all legitimate components. We could give it this way, and I don't know if it's a good illustration or not. But take a tree, one that's growing in your lawn, or one that's out here in the churchyard, and cut that tree off at the root, at the ground level. Just cut it right off at the stump. And have a crane or something in there that you can keep the tree from toppling over. And remove that tree a few hundred yards to another location where you want that tree. and plop it down. Embrace it, cable it, whatever you got to do to keep that tree standing. We know that won't work. Why won't it work? Because the premise is incorrect. The incorrect premise will invalidate the legitimate components. The tree is green, it has leaves, it has branches, it has the trunk. But it has been severed from its foundation, has been severed from its life. And so, no matter, you can keep it standing. You can keep it standing for years. But the premise is incorrect, and so the components are invalidated. The connection by which life was given to the branches and leaves is missing. It is severed. For a working religion to have life, it must spring from a connection to the authentic, the real. Point number two, embracing the absolute authority of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, what we call the Bible, is the premise that validates the components of a working religion. And I should have drew another box under here, a box that supports obedience, forgiveness of sins, and worship. So if the premise is wrong, there's something else in here. It's what we talked about earlier. We have confidence that something is under this obedience. Something is bearing it up. Something is making it real and valid. So as with my Muslim friend, he believes that there is something in this box. For us tonight, and this isn't new to us. It isn't new, but we need reminded that embracing the absolute authority of Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, what we call the Bible, is the premise that validates the components of a working religion. So I'm just going to put Holy Bible in here. And this could be drawn up in many ways. There's other things we could put in there as well. The Holy Bible is this premise, the absolute authority. And someone will surely want to argue with me in saying, isn't belief in God first? I wrestled with that a bit, not too long. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible, the Holy Bible, is the absolute authority. It gives the proper premise. An illustration or bringing out the point that the Bible is first, and God is believing in God is not before the Bible. See, a God, little g, is any figment of the imagination we place confidence in. Until we bow at the teaching of the Holy Word as to who God is. Until we pick up this book and we read in here who God is, what God is, what He is doing, what He has done for us, our God can be anything. It is this word that tells us who God is. And from there away, from the absolute authority of the Holy Scriptures, this absolute foundation, from there away, life flows into the powerful doctrines that embody a saving faith. Doctrines. So we have God, We have the first person of the Godhead. We have Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, God's only begotten Son. We have the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. We have the doctrine of sin, that all men have sinned and that we are sinful. We have in the Holy Word of God, it is our premise that, and it gives life into these powerful doctrines, that Jesus Christ came into this world. He showed us how to live. He was crucified and he rose again on the third day. His blood was shed for our sins, and we can be forgiven of our sins because of that blood. These are the doctrines. The Bible pours life into those doctrines. This is the premise of our saving faith. And we could talk about the Bible is full of those doctrines, and it is this holy word of God that pours life into that, into those. And so now we can talk about forgiveness of sins. And it is upon the authority of God's word that forgiveness of sins is a reality and becomes precious to the believer. I don't know what my Muslim friend was having his confidence in, that his sins were forgiven, or what was happening to his sins. It was in something, and other people are somewhat the same. Maybe there's someone here tonight who said, my sins are gone. Why are they gone? Why? How are they gone? It is the authority of this word. It is the basis. It is what bears up the obedience, the forgiveness of sins. We can put repentance with forgiveness of sins and worship. Now we can talk about obedience. It is the authority of the Holy Word of God that causes the Christian to strive for obedience to the Almighty by fighting against sin and living life that is pleasing to Him. It pours life into it. We have a reason, because Scripture tells us this is, we read the Word, we know God is real, we know the requirements of being a believer. We have met Christ, our sins are forgiven, and God says, do my will. Do this, don't do that, live this way, don't live this way. We find it here. And it gives credence, it gives validation to this obedience. My Muslim friend, or in false religions, obedience to what? To what? See, it's invalid. And that's why the profound sadness came upon me. But like as I said earlier, we're all human. And these thought patterns are not that far away from us sometimes. Not that far away. My sins are gone. Why are they gone? I'm obedient. Obedient to what? Do I really know what it is? Do I really know what it is? And recognize, as I live my life, what is my will and what is God's will? Am I able to determine that? Do I spend time looking for that? I'm obedient to God's word. I am. How? Do you know? When's the last that I recognized my own will? That it was taking me somewhere. It was leading me somewhere. See, these words can become, I don't know if I want to say too everyday, but if we're not careful, they lose their meaning to us, and we forget that the basis under it is the Holy Word of God, and we must keep studying, keep digging, keep thinking, pondering, meditating. Now we can talk about worship. It is the authority of God's word that leads us into a life of pursuing a relationship with God, reverence for God, putting our trust in God, praise and prayer to God. Embracing the absolute authority of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, what we call the Bible, is the premise that validates the components of a working religion. Number three, do I have peace with God? Do I have peace with God? What a beautiful thing it is to be able to say with absolute confidence that I have peace with God. What a treasure. What a miracle. And so how do we answer that question? And I believe there are two pieces to this question. The foundational part of that answer lies within whether or not I have and am yielding my life to the absolute authority of the Holy Scripture and the God of that Holy Word. Is that what's happening in our life tonight? Is that what I'm striving for? Is that where my heart is? That's where my heart is beating. I believe that's the foundational piece. As we came to Jesus Christ, and I'm speaking as if that is in place, because it's a group of believers, we're in council meeting, and so we are that believer, and we're here tonight to answer this question. There's other questions, but I'm going to focus on that one. Have I yielded, and am I yielding my life to the absolute authority of the Holy Scripture? That includes. From the doctrine of who God is to the doctrine of eternity future. And there's a lot of pieces in between, there are a lot of doctrines. As we think about yielding my life to the absolute authority of the Holy Scripture. But there's another with this piece. It means yielding to the promises God gives the believer. And there's some tender hearts here tonight, I'm sure. Some timid hearts that need to hear this point. We need to yield to the promises God gives the believer. 1 John, was it 2:3? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as believers, we need to yield our heart to that promise. Yield our heart to that promise and many more like it. That God will do what he says he will do. The second part of answering this question, it is the working part. How has my profession of Christianity affected my daily life? How has it affected my daily life? So we need the foundational piece of my heart is set on God's word. My heart is set and I am going to follow God and pursue him. On this other side is the working part. We could call it the working religion, the outworking. How has this profession of Christianity affected my daily life? That's the other piece to check. As we think about the three things that are on the board, obedience, worship, and forgiveness. As we think about obedience to God, what are we obeying him in? Are we serious about that? Is our heart there? Are we pursuing that relationship with God? We're interested in that. More than interested. Our heart beats that way. Worship to God. How is it that we're worshiping God? Because this is a part of. I admire that man even today because even though I have the profound sadness, I admire the conviction that he had. I admire the confidence that he exuded. It's all misplaced and I'm so sad about that. But at the same time, is that conviction a part of our life as we relate to the true God? So what if that was me and you? And that was another part, a piece of, like, well, should I talk about that? I didn't add it into my sermon notes, but the whole thing of not being ashamed. Not being ashamed to worship. Not being ashamed to sing those songs. Not being the songs of worship to God. When other people can hear us. Not being ashamed to pray in public. Not being ashamed. How is this profession, this foundational piece that we say we have, how is that affecting my daily life? Am I interested in worshiping God? Am I reading his word? Or am I just one of those people that I'm just hanging on to the foundational part and say, well, I believe the word. All the Bible is true. And yes, that's the God. And yes, Jesus came and he died for me. And he forgave my sins. But this doesn't affect my life, my daily life. It must. It must. And so there is a working religion that we have. But only a working religion will not work. And saying only, Lord, Lord, haven't I done this, Lord, and haven't I done that? The Jesus only, without a practical outworking, won't work either. And so these two need married. Forgiveness of sins. What are we doing with our sins? Yes, we had that initial experience with Jesus Christ. And we claimed that promise. We confessed our sins. But what about our shortcomings and failures now? What are we doing about that? Where are our sins going? Again, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He that hath the Son hath life. And so as we go through life, we need to remember that Jesus is our advocate. He is life. If we have the Son, we have the Father. And if we keep his commandments, he's going to give us eternal life. We read those verses in the beginning. And so, brothers and sisters, tonight, we can answer that question, that we have peace with God, as we look at that foundational peace and examine the working part, or the working religion part of our walk. We can answer that question with confidence. And if we find ourselves at a place where we need to change, we need to renew, we need to rededicate, It's all available. And so there's a part, I think, for folks sometimes that are so ashamed that there can be this deep shame that I'm not the person that I should be. Or maybe there is a large sin that needs taken care of. Well, I'm sorry about that, but there's provision. There's provision. There's a way forward. There's forgiveness. There's clearing that can be done. And so there's hope. And so if right now you know there's something between you and God, that can be taken care of tonight. And just following, you can say, I have peace with God. You see, we have such a wonderful Savior. Such a wonderful premise that our faith is built upon. Such a wonderful premise that our working religion grows from. May God bless us. Let's pray.